testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. Can you hear through okay?
Yeah.
Chapter 8. And let me ask, does anybody here tonight identify with what I'm about to say? Many months ago, I had a very horrifying dream. It was terrifying. I woke up, not in a sweat like you sometimes hear, but I just woke up startled. What I had dreamed was, it was, as most dreams are, you know, it was crazy, it was stupid, and it was horrible, and it was scary, and all these kind of things. And I woke up, I just was petrified, and it was hard to go back to sleep. Have any of you ever had an experience like that, a few of you? Well, then maybe you can realize the last verse of chapter 8, after this dream, he says, I was depressed and I was ill for several days. Well, I've never been depressed and ill for several days after a dream, but Daniel was depressed and ill for several days. Then I got up and went back to work that the king had assigned to me, but I was puzzled by the vision and I could not understand it. Tonight in our series of Daniel, we're turning to chapter 8, where Daniel is going to give us a vision of a ram and a goat. And
this should sound like different than King James.
Okay, read King James for us, Jerry.
And it says, and I, Daniel, fainted. This is 27th verse, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I, Daniel, fainted. It was six, and was sick certain days. Afterwards, I rose up and did the king's business.
Okay.
And I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it.
Okay, he fainted, and he was astonished. And what was the other word?
Sick.
Okay. Well, that's what happened to him, all right. Another translation we have with us tonight might read differently. If you have one, share it with us. Verse 27. Something different than King James and the TEV?
And I, Daniel, was overcome and lay sick for some days. Then I rose and went about the king's business. But I was appalled by the vision and did not understand.
Okay. Thank you, Margaret. He was overcome and he was appalled and sick. Okay. Well, that's what happened to him, and that's what's happened to, I guess, all of us at one time or another, although perhaps not to this great extent. And the reason you can say that is because here we have a vision that was from God. My dreams could easily be as a result of eating a chocolate-covered raisin, you know, or a pickle or what have you. So this was a dream that came as a result of God's directly intervention for Daniel. So beginning with verse 1 of chapter 8, in the third year that Belshazzar was king, I saw a second vision. Now, the second vision is because if you'll turn your page in the Bible back to chapter 7, you'll read in the same in verse 1, in the first year that Belshazzar was king, I had a dream and I saw a vision in the night, and I wrote down the dream. Okay, now the next page over. Chapter 8, verse 1, in the third year that Belshazzar was king. So if you're pretty good at mathematics, you can figure out what time passed between these two visions, which was how many years?
Two.
All right. 1 from 3 is 2. So 2 years later passed between chapter 7 and chapter 8. And that's important to note that these visions just weren't given boom, boom, boom. It, like this was 2 years later. So 2 years later, in the second vision, he says in verse 2, I suddenly found myself in the walled city of Susa in the province of Elam. I was standing by Ui River, and there beside the river I saw a ram. Now try to get this picture. He saw a ram that had two horns, long horns, one of which was longer and newer than the other. So you get the vision of this ram with two horns. Now you know what a ram looks like, don't you? All right, and the shape of a ram's horn is, you know, it's not like this, straight out, but it does what?
Curves.
It curves back. So we saw this ram that had two horns. Well, there's nothing unusual about that. But as the horns put back, there were different in length. One was longer than the other. Verse 4, I watched the ram butting with his horns to the west, to the north, and the south. No animal could stop him or escape his power. He did as he pleased, and he grew arrogant. While I was wondering what this meant, what kind of an animal came?
A goat.
A goat. Now, bear in mind, in your mind, what a goat looks like. The goat came rushing out of the west, moving so fast that his feet didn't touch the ground. He had one prominent horn between his eyes. So you're looking at a goat now with one horn. Maybe you can think of a unicorn horn, but it just had one horn. He came from the west, and he was rushing with all the force that he had. Verse 7, I watched him attack the ram. He was so angry that he smashed into him and broke the two horns. The ram had no strength to resist. He was thrown to the ground and trampled on, and there was no one that could save him. So now the ram has been destroyed by the goat. Now verse 8 says that the goat now grew more and more arrogant. But at the height of his power, remember that one horn, his one horn was broken at the height of his power. And in its place, what happened? Four prominent horns came up, each pointing in a different direction. So if we were using the overlay and I was an artist, we would just draw a picture of a goat that had horns going in different directions. Four horns in different directions. Now, verse 9, out of one of these four horns grew a little horn, whose power extended toward the south and the east and toward the promised land. It grew strong enough to attack the army of heaven, the stars themselves, and it threw some of them to the ground and trampled on them. It even defied the prince of the heavenly army, stopped the daily sacrifices offered to him, and ruined the temple. People sinned there instead of offering the proper daily sacrifices, and true religion was thrown to the ground. The horn was successful in everything it did. Then I heard one angel ask another, how long will these things that were seen in the vision continue? How long will an awful sin replace the daily sacrifices? Now bear in mind that has to do with the temple in Jerusalem. How long will the army of heaven and the temple be trampled on? And I heard the other angel answer, well, it will continue for 1,150 days, during which evening and morning sacrifices will not be offered. Then the temple will be restored. So this is the vision that Daniel had. It was sort of a terrifying vision. It at least left him very weak and faint and sick and ill. And he didn't really know what was happening. And so in verse 15, I was trying to understand what the vision meant when suddenly someone was standing in front of me. I heard a voice call out over the Ulai River. Gabriel explained to him the meaning of what he saw. And Gabriel came and stood beside me. And I was so terrified that I fell to the ground. Okay, this is the first time Gabriel is mentioned in the Bible. And as an angel, he appeared to him in the form of a man. And he said to me, mortal man, understand the meaning. The vision has to do with the end of the world. Now, probably we should pause right here to say, before we pick up some of the verses that we've already read, that when he is talking about what he is talking about here, has to do with an actual fulfillment in history, and it also has to do with something that's going to happen in history. As we stand here, we look back historically, and we see that what he has prophesied came true in a particular man and what he did, and we'll tell you about that in a minute. So it was fulfilled 200 years later. Imagine, 200 years later it happened in Antiochus Epiphanes. But that's historically. Looking still prophetically, we'll pick up on this verse. He says, I will show you what will happen, and it refers to the end of the time, which means the end of the world. And we'll come back to that. But he says that the ram you saw that had two horns represents the kingdoms of Media and Persia. The goat represents the kingdom of Greece, and the prominent horn between his eyes is the first king. Now, the first king of Greece, Alexander the Great, he was a very great man, Alexander the Great, and he tried to conquer the known world. But all of a sudden, the guy dies because he loses a battle, and he, as that prominent horn, remember the goat had one horn, but the horn was broken off, and then four horns came out. Out of the Greek Empire came four separate kingdoms. And then out of one of those kingdoms comes a little horn. Now he says the four horns that came up, verse 22, when the first horn was broken, represents the four kingdoms into which that nation will be divided and which will not be as strong as the first kingdom. When the end of those kingdoms is near and they have become so wicked that they must be punished, there will be a stubborn, vicious, and deceitful king. He will grow strong, but not by his own power. He will cause terrible destruction and be successful in everything he does. He will bring destruction on powerful men and on God's own people. Because he is cunning, he will succeed in his deceitful ways. He will be proud of himself and destroy many people without warning. He will even defy the greatest king of all, but he will be destroyed without the use of any human power. This vision about the evening and morning sacrifices, which has been explained to you, will come true. But keep it a secret now, because it will be a long time before it comes true. 200 years later, in Antiochus Epiphanes, this came true. This guy did exactly what we read about in verse 22. Stubborn, vicious, and deceitful. He grew strong, but not by his own power. He was certainly inspired by Satan. Now, as you read these verses that we're about to read, 24, 25, and 26, it is not only talking about this guy, Epiphanes, who 200 years later came into Jerusalem and destroyed the temple and stopped all the sacrifices and what have you, but it also speaks of the Antichrist who is going to come to Jerusalem and destroy the temple once again. So historically, it refers to a man that actually happened, and yet it was prophesied 200 years before. But for us today, prophetically, it talks about the Antichrist. Antiochus Epiphanes and the Antichrist have many, many things in common. And what they have in common, we can see just by reading these verses. He will grow strong, but not by his own power. Antiochus Epiphanes grew strong by satanic power. And the Antichrist is none other than the Antichrist, you know, Satan working in somebody. And that will be the power. Now, Antiochus, who in 165 A.D. came into his untimely death. In fact, that's why December 25 is Hanukkah for the Jewish people, simply because they got to go back in, they found the oil, they decided that they would be able to go into the temple and start their sacrifices again. So you back up how many days? 1,150 days, a day meaning a year, and you'll find exactly, I mean the days, and you will discover that this all happened in 551 B.C. So today the Jewish people celebrate Hanukkah because they got to go back into the temple, because Antiochus Epiphanes finally dies and the temple is going to be restored. But in the meantime, for us, we look forward to that day of the Antichrist, and he will cause terrible destruction. He will be successful in everything he does. He will bring destruction on powerful men and on God's own people. Because he is cunning, he will succeed in his deceitful ways. Isn't Satan deceitful? Isn't he the master of deceit? He will be proud of himself, destroy many people without warning. He will even defy the greatest king of all, but he will be destroyed without the use of any human power. This vision about the evening and morning sacrifices, which has been explained to you, will come true. And it did come true. So we have a double prophecy here. We have a prophecy that for us today we know did come true in this man who was the little horn. And we know that it's going to come true in a time in the future when the Antichrist reigns after the Great Tribulation. Now, maybe you were wondering, as we mentioned a moment ago, about the little horn, and Sunday 2 weeks ago in the 10:45 service, we spoke from chapter 7, and we talked about a little horn coming out of the ten horns. The little horn of chapter 7 is not the same as the little horn in chapter 8, because in chapter 8 we're talking about the second and third kingdom. In chapter 7, the little horn came out of the tenth kingdom, which would be the Roman Empire. Remember, to go back to chapter 2, we have the image of the human figure, you know, the top being, the head being gold, going all the way down to its feet of clay and iron, representing the Roman Empire. So we have two little horns here. The horn that we're talking about tonight is, and it very clearly says who it's going to be, it's the guy who comes out of the Greek Empire, and that was Alexander the Great. Who is Alexander the Great? He was a guy that tried to conquer the world, but he died because he lost a battle. And do you know how old he was when he died? 33 years old. Now, do you remember another guy who was 33 years old when he died? Jesus and Alexander died at 33. One lived and died for self, one died for you and me. The Greek died on the throne, the Jew died on a cross. One's life a triumph seemed, the other but a loss. One led vast armies forth, the other walked alone. One shed a whole world's blood, the other gave his own. One won the world in life and lost it all in death. The other lost his life to win the whole world's faith. Jesus and Alexander both died at 33. One died in Babylon and one on Calvary. One gained all for himself and one himself he gave. One conquered every throne, the other every grave. The one made himself God, the God made himself less. The one lived but to blast, the other but to bless. When died the Greek, forever fell his throne of swords, but Jesus died to live forever, Lord of lords. Jesus and Alexander died at 33. The Greek made all men slaves, the Jew made all men free. One built a throne on blood, the other built on love. The one was born of earth, the other from above. One won all this earth to lose all earth and heaven. The other gave up all that all to him be given. The Greek forever died, the Jew forever lives. He loses all who gets and wins all things who gives. 33. Alexander the Great trying to conquer. And so he dies, and the four horns come up, and out of the fourth horn comes this man who tries also to gain the world. Any question before we move on to the latter part here? History does, and if I'm not mistaken, he died. Alexander died because he lost a battle. This guy lost because he had a high fever. He just had a high fever and died.
Because it says that you wouldn't have a human hand touch him. You know, and I know it was talking about the Antichrist, but it's also talking about this fellow.
Yeah, he died not by a sword, but he died because of a fever. Mm-hmm. And so it's sort of interesting, you know. I don't know what to say to make this, you know, as interesting as we can make it. There's a lot that can be said about it, and there's a lot of scripture cross-references that we can look at. But let me just pick on a few things here. In chapter in verse 13, there are four main subjects of this vision. The daily sacrifice is going to be cut off. There's going to be a transgression of desolation. The sanctuary is going to be trodden underfoot, and the host to be trodden underfoot as well. Matthew 24:15. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2:4. Matthew 24 says the same, says something too that it's important, but let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2:4. And in 2 Thessalonians 2:4, now we're talking about the transgression of desolation in verse 13 of chapter 8 of Daniel. It says here, he will oppose every so-called god or object of worship and will put himself above them all. He will even go in and sit down in God's temple and claim to be God. Now this is the wicked one. This is the Antichrist. Now this is exactly what Antiochus Epiphanes did. And so that was fulfilled in history. But now the Antichrist, it's the double prophecy here, will do just what this man did. And in verse 4 is one thing that will happen. Revelation 13, we don't have to turn to it, but it spends many verses telling what the Antichrist is going to do in Jerusalem. But if you want to turn to Revelation 11, you'll find in verse 1, 2, 3, regarding two witnesses measuring the city, the holy city trampled upon. And we'll just save this for next Sunday because we're going to go into the 70 weeks of Daniel. In verse 17, back to chapter 8 of Daniel, this verse 17 proves that the main object of the vision is to predict events at the end of the age in which we live, or which will be, of course, the second advent of Christ. And verse 17 says, Gabriel came and stood beside me, and I was so terrified I fell to the ground. And he said to me, mortal man, understand the meaning. The vision has to do with the end of the world. Now, in the prophecy that we have read this evening, as we have read the whole chapter, you'll find some verses have been fulfilled and some have been unfulfilled. Verse 17, of course, is one that's unfulfilled. Verse 20, 21, and 22 are fulfilled. Verse 20, 21, and 22 are fulfilled. It talks about the ram had the two horns, and it was killed by the he-goat, and the he-goat has one horn. It's broken. That was Alexander the Great, and four kingdoms come out, which history says happened, and then from that came the little horn. So chapter 8, verse 20, 21, and 22 are fulfilled prophecies. Verse 23, 24, 25, and 26, and 27 are unfulfilled prophecy having to do with the Antichrist in the second day, in the second time. So we have Antiochus Epiphanes, who is a forerunner of the Antichrist, both having similar characteristics. So historically and prophetically, we stand as we look at this chapter tonight. Now, verse 25, because he is cunning, he will be, there are four things that he's going to do. Because he is cunning, he will succeed in his deceitful ways. He will be proud of himself and destroy many people without warning. He will even defy the greatest king of all, but he will be destroyed without the use of any human power. Now, four things. First of all, he will cause his craft to prosper. Turn to Revelation 13, 17. Somebody read this if you would. Revelation 13, 17. Okay, he's going to cause his craft to prosper, and unless you've got the mark, you got problems. So that is one thing that says that it said in verse 25. The second thing is he's going to magnify himself in his heart. With Revelation open to chapter 13, read verse 5 and verse 12.
The beast was allowed to make. You said 13. Mm-hmm. The beast was allowed to make proud claims which were insulting to God, and it was permitted to have authority for 42 months. And number
12.
It used the vast authority of the first beast in its presence. It forced the earth and all who live on it to worship the first beast, whose wound had healed.
Okay, he magnifies himself, especially in verse 5. You see, humility is not a great characteristic of the Antichrist, nor was it Antigonus Epiphanes. And it's just like Satan, because I think you'll find in Isaiah 14:13 these words. You were determined to climb up to heaven and to place your throne above the high stars. You thought you would sit like a king on that mountain in the north where the gods assemble. This is just talking about Satan in terms of the king of Babylon. And he tried to do that. He wanted to get above God and climb up to heaven and place his throne above the high stars. You thought you would sit like a king on that mountain. So you see, humility is not a characteristic of the Antichrist at all. And this is the second thing. The first, he caused his craft to prosper. You can't buy or sell without the mark. Secondly, he magnified himself. The third thing, many shall be destroyed by him. That's what we read in Daniel 8:25. And so if you'll turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2 and 3. It's on page 278 in the Pew Bible. Now, the point is in chapter 8, verse 25, by peace, this guy, the Antichrist, is going to destroy many people. 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 and 3 says, "For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come as a thief comes at night. When people say everything is quiet and safe, then suddenly destruction will hit them. It will come as suddenly as the pains that come upon a woman in labor, and people will not escape." And if you want to listen to this verse in Revelation 6:2, "I looked, and there was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown. He rode out as a conqueror to conquer." And so chapter 8, verse 25 says, thirdly, that by peace he's going to go out and destroy very many people. And this is exactly what is going to happen as a result of the Antichrist's rule. And the fourth and last thing is that he will come up against the Prince of Peace. Let's go back and just read that in Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 25. It says, "He will even defy the greatest king of all." Well, who is that?
Jesus.
Okay, now, Revelation 13, verse 7 and verse 8. Revelation 13, 7 and 8. "It was allowed to fight against God's people and to defeat them, and it was given authority over every tribe, nation, language, and earth. All people living on earth will worship it, except those whose names were written before the creation of the world in the book of the living, which belongs to the Lamb that was killed." Standing up against the prince of all princes. And again, this is a prophecy of that which is going to come about. It talks about the Antichrist. So to conclude, we have here a vision of the ram and the goat representing two kingdoms. And historically, it came to pass, but prophetically, it is still to come to pass. For he says it has to do with the end of time when the world just comes to an end. Any contribution you'd like to make or question you'd like to ask? Okay.
Strong enough to attack the army of heaven and the stars themselves, and it threw some of them to the ground and trampled them. Cross scripture was Revelation 12:4 in this Bible.
Okay.
It says, "With his tail he dragged a third of the stars out of the sky and threw them down to the earth. He stood in front of the woman in order to eat her child as soon as it was born. And then she gave birth to a son who will rule over all nations with an iron rod." Anyway, what's he talking about?
Okay, the cross reference, of course, is right in verse 10. Okay, verse 9. out of one of these four horns grew the little horn whose power extended toward the south. Now, the little horn, if we take the little horn historically as Antiochus Epiphanes, it grew strong to attack the army of heaven. Now, historically, he attacked the army of heaven by attacking the people who were residing in Jerusalem as the priests, the representatives of God, and the temple worship. Prophetically, it has to do with the Antichrist, who's going to do the very same thing. And I think it, strong enough to attack the army of heaven, the stars themselves, and it threw some of them to the ground and trampled on them. I think the interpretation would be that the people who were in the temple were thrown to the ground, who were representative of God and everything that has to do with God, and they were trampled to the ground and they were killed.
So you don't think this is talking about angels then?
I don't think it has to do with angels, but I'm not saying it doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're not.
Yeah.
But could this stand for the Christian people then in Revelation, the one where you read where the Christian people would be allowed to be killed?
Yes. In historically they were allowed to be killed, and then as the Antichrist comes in the future, this will happen to them too. Okay. Let me check one thing before we go further. Okay, any of you have a Scofield Bible? Well, in the Scofield Bible, Mrs. Scofield has this note on this verse 10 that we just read about the stars. He states that this statement is admittedly the most difficult in the prophecy. So I'm glad you brought that up. The natural interpretation is that Antiochus challenged God and was permitted to capture Jerusalem and the temple. This warfare included the spiritual realm where angels and demons were involved. Some of the feats attributed to Antiochus are astonishing. If they are true, demonic power was exhibited. Just like when the Antichrist comes, he's going to have this demonic power. So it is a very difficult verse, and it could be interpreted various ways.
Yeah, it didn't sound like angels, but the host.
Right. Okay, somebody had another question? Yeah. Margaret?
On that mark, is it talking about, did that happen before? With that?
The mark of the beast?
No. Nope.
It's for the future. And we're going to get into this in a few weeks. But let me just say now in passing, since you did bring it up, that the Bible says that unless you have the mark of the beast, the Antichrist, then you'll not be able to buy or sell. And there are many people with great imaginations that are saying, you know, it's Social Security number and all that kind of stuff. We'll talk about all that when we get to it. It's in Daniel, too. Any other question?
Yeah, where does it talk about that?
Antiochus Epiphanes? Okay, the Bible doesn't mention Antiochus Epiphanes. What a name. It took me all day to pronounce it, practice up to say it for you. And in my notes, I even wrote out the word tick so I could say it just right, Antiochus. It's important to note that while Daniel wrote the book of Daniel and while Matthew wrote the book of Matthew, there were other people who wrote other books that are not classified as divinely inspired and so are not put into what we call the canon of Scripture, meaning the Bible. And there are people like Josephus, who was a historian, and Origen, who was an historian, and a guy by the name of Clement, and there are several others who wrote and were very reliable writers. And these people wrote historically, just like somebody would write the history of the United States today, like you would write the history of today. And so many of these people who had the same contemporary ages wrote about Antiochus Epiphanes, for example. And what he did just falls right into place year-wise and also prophetically what actually happened. So his name is not in the Bible, but we know he was who he was by reading the other books, which are the history books. It's a good question.
Yeah, but what he got to do with the story? Well, that ain't gonna talk to me now.
Do what?
What he got to do with the story, though?
Okay, this man named Tychicus Epiphanes,
ain't gonna talk to me.
Who was the little horn, you see.
But how do you fit him that little horn, though?
Oh, because it's a good question. Jerry's asking, how can you fit this man into the little horn? Okay, when Daniel prophesied, he was given a prophecy that was going to happen 200 years away. Now, he didn't know that, but we know that because we look back in time and we see that the history books tell us that there was a man by the name of Tychicus Epiphanes who tried to conquer and who came into Jerusalem. He came into the holy city. He came into the tabernacle, called the temple. He came into the temple, and he did all these horrible things, which are written in this chapter 8 that we read, like in verse 13, verse 25. And so what Daniel said was going to happen, we look in the history books, and we find it actually happened. And the guy who did it was Tychicus Epiphanes. So it's a double prophecy. It tells you what's going to happen, which did happen, and then he is a type of the Antichrist who is going to come in the future. He is a type of the Antichrist. So that's a good question, Jerry. This is why I'm glad that we switched our sermons around so that instead of preaching this in the morning, we could do it at night and we could answer your questions and make it more relevant to you all. So next Sunday, either morning or evening, we'll go to chapter 9, and we're going to talk about Daniel's 70 weeks. And bear in mind, chapter 8 begins talking about Israel. And Israel is prominent in the news today. So as we read these next few chapters, let's bear in mind that, this is something that's going to happen. Any other question or comment you'd like to make? Okay. Then let's just stand and praise the Lord, maybe.